98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Wichita City Council will discuss a vote on a sales tax increase. We have the story.
Boeing completes its acquisition of Spirit. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
A man is in critical condition following a shooting Monday night in North Wichita in the 1200 block of Fairview near 13th and Waco. Police found an adult male with a gunshot wound to the upper body. Police Sergeant Steve Jarrell.
We're not 100% sure where the scene is, where this actually occurred. We were in the process of trying to talk with him, but medical takes precedent, and he's been moved up to the OR.
Police have released no information on a possible suspect in that shooting. A man was critically injured in a shooting in southeast Wichita early today, just after 2 a.m. Police were called to the 1900 block of East Marion. Found a man in his 40s with a gunshot wound to the head. No word yet on a possible suspect or what led up to that shooting.
Boeing has completed its acquisition of Spirit Aerosystems, Wichita's largest employer. Boeing's acquisition includes all of Spirit's Boeing-related commercial operations, including fuselages for the 737 program and major structures for the 767, the 777, and the 787 Dreamliner. The transaction also brings Boeing's largest supplier of spare parts in-house. Spirit Aerosystems commercial and aftermarket operations in Wichita, Tulsa, and Dallas, as well as Spirit Aerosystems Innovation Center in Prestwick, Scotland, will begin to integrate into Boeing. Approximately 15,000 employees across five states are now becoming a part of Boeing.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will discuss a proposed ordinance to create a special election asking residents to vote on a 1% sales tax increase. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News part of the proposed increase would offset property taxes.
It would also be for cash funding public safety facilities. So think about the new fire stations and police stations. Instead of bonding them and having interest on them, these would be cash funded so that there would be some savings for building these facilities.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Democrat Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett announces a bid for a United States Senate seat in Texas.
Representative Jasmine Crockett declaring,
I am running to become your next United States Senator from the state of Texas.
The two-term Democratic Congresswoman of the Dallas area looking to flip the Senate seat held by GOP Senator John Cornyn, who is running for re-election.
I'm done with the senators sitting around doing nothing while Trump takes your hard-earned money, skims your Social Security, slashes Medicare, and gives tax breaks to billionaires.
Saying she's running because polling suggests she can win. Crockett faces Texas State Representative James Tallarico of Austin in the Democratic primary. Cornyn faces GOP primary challenges from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
And Crockett's announcement comes after her seat in the House of Representatives was redrawn after a Republican-led redistricting effort.
KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Basketball action last night up in Manhattan for the Kansas State men. We'll have some highlights and reaction from Coach Tang coming up in sports.
Big earthquake rattles northeast Japan. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News. Steve and Ted in the Morning, KNSS. 7:09 now, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. At least 30 people were injured after a magnitude 7.5 earthquake hit northeastern Japan Monday night, forcing thousands of people to evacuate their homes. The quake occurred at a depth of 31 miles off the coast of the Aomori region. It prompted tsunami warnings, which have now been lifted. Some train services have been suspended. Thousands of homes left without power as a result. Authorities have also warned that a stronger tremor could occur in the coming days.
The secretaries of health and transportation did pull-ups at an airport yesterday.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced a $1 billion grant opportunity for airports to make travel more family-friendly.
But it might be, I want to expand the play areas for kids. I want additional nursing pods for nursing mothers.
He said other airports might want to create family-friendly screening lanes or add a workout area in. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said airports are where healthy eating goes to die.
One of the things that Secretary Duffy is encouraging these airports to do is to open up new options like the one you see behind you, Farmer's Fridge.
He and Duffy both ended the press conference by doing pull-ups at a pull-up bar inside the airport. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
A California man achieves an interesting milestone on his favorite amusement park ride.
John Allen Hale underwent gastric bypass and knee replacement surgeries in 2010 and 2011, and one of his motivating factors during recovery was his desire to try out the Radiator Springs Racers ride at Disney's California Adventure, which is based on the Pixar Cars movies. Well, Hale met the goal once the ride opened in 2012 and never stopped. Monday, he sat behind the wheel of the ride for the 15,000th time. Hale says he's visited the park more than 1,100 times and normally rides the ride about 13 times each time he's there. He says he fell in love with the ride, and the best part is the ride has no discernible pattern, so you never know who's going to win. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
What's that smell? Mug Root Beer is dropping a root beer scented cologne.
Just in time for the holidays, Mug Root Beer is releasing a new limited edition fragrance. It's called Daddy's Home. Described as an irresistible root beer coated aroma of cedar, sandalwood, vanilla, and caramel. Available through the Mug Root Beer TikTok shop, Mug is also offering bundle packages that include its new cologne and its root beer. The marketing folks at Mug advising us, if interested, to place orders by December 11th for delivery by Christmas Eve. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Daddy's Home?
Daddy's Home.
It smells like root
smells
beer?
Like Mug Root Beer.
That doesn't attract the ladies, huh?
Oh, all hey right. Now.
7:12 now. 12 minutes.
And then she comes over and says, I'm an A&W woman.
I got to say, the TV commercials for this are going to be spectacular. Good stuff. All right. Southbound I-235 got a slowdown between 25th Street and Zoo Boulevard. Southbound on I-235. So we got some pretty heavy traffic in that area right now. Just something to be aware of this morning. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Not one if you can make a float out of that. Hello. Root beer float.
Ah, nice.
7:12 now, Steve, at 10 in the morning. And it's time for the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Ross Jansen. Thank you, sir.
Well, our forecast is about as strange as Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home. Whatever happened to High Karate and Jade East?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, things are coming off the rails this morning. Thanks in part to the A&W cologne smell. Strange. We're going to have some very warm weather today. In fact, if you step outside this morning, it's really not that cold here to start a Tuesday. And we're going to finish the day with highs up close to 60 degrees. The record high is 69, so we're likely going to come up well shy of that today, but it's probably not going to feel like December with how warm things are going to be. Mostly sunny. We'll have a breeze in from the southwest today. Our first cold front of the week is coming through later tonight, so we'll drop down to 38. We shave about 8 to 10 degrees off of the high temperature for tomorrow. Still looking at 53, and then Thursday we're back up into the 60s, believe it or not. Mostly sunny. I don't think we'll have any record highs on Thursday, but again, it looks very, very warm as we continue to be in this very unusual weather pattern this week. A stronger front's going to be coming through Friday night into Saturday. We'll see some much chillier weather in time for the weekend. In fact, by the time we get to Sunday next weekend, we're talking about highs that may not even be getting above freezing. So there is some colder weather coming, but it's not going to be coming down the pipeline for several days yet. Just the fact that it hasn't been measurable snow yet in Wichita does not indicate how the rest of the winter is going to go. In fact, just last winter, our first measurable snow didn't happen until January 5th, and then we went on to have over 18 inches of snow. So right now, even though we haven't had much here in the air capital, it's no indication, no bearing on how the rest of the season will go. 30 degrees in Wichita this morning. We got a clear sky. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
Ross, don't you know, we need to find out where that Daddy's Home cologne is marketed so we can get some for some of our best friends, right?
This sounds like something better than a stocking stuffer. This is a true gift.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Ross. That's the Storm Team 12 meteorologist, Ross Jansen. Want to know where he can find some daddy's home cologne?
Mm-hmm.
Smells like root beer.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Today is Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. And yesterday's high temperature, 45 in Wichita, normal high 48. And on this date in 1917, a severe blizzard blasted through the Great Lakes and Ohio Valley. The blizzard in 1917, this is during World War One, Buffalo, New York, got about 25 inches. That with 75 to 80 mile per hour winds produced drifts 10 to 15 feet high.
Mm.
Buffalo. I'm not sure I'd even want to go there. Let's see. Oh,
it's nice in the summer.
Southeast Indiana, 25 inches buried Vevey, where drifts reached 14 feet. Now, that's where, isn't it, Buffalo, pretty close to the Niagara Falls?
Yeah, it's right there.
Right there. Okay. All right, let's see. What else? Oh, 46 years ago, 1979, smallpox was officially eradicated. I'm reading I'm reading a book right now on the Revolutionary War.
Ooh.
And smallpox was... Well, I mean, deadly. It took out.
It just killed millions and millions of people for centuries.
And you could inoculate yourself.
And we finally.
They had an inoculation, but a lot of people didn't have it, and they just got smallpox.
We finally
and died.
Found a way to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll stay that way.
72-year-old John Malkovich today. He is 72. Malkovich, how do you say it? Vic or Vich? Vic. American actor, recipient of several accolades, including a primetime Emmy. In addition to nominations for two Academy Awards, a BAFTA, two Screen Actors Guilds, and three Golden Globes Awards, this guy, he can play just about anything.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting actor.
I recognized him maybe in, was it Places in the Heart?
Yep.
Where the,
he was very good
Sally
in that.
Field, yeah. That was a terrific movie
mm-hmm.
about the Depression. He was a blind guy.
Yeah, he's very good in that.
I think he's a great actor. I think he's really,
the movie
really
Being
good.
John Malkovich is very funny. And did a pretty good Christmas skit on Saturday Night Live where he was reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to kids and making comments during the whole thing.
That was really funny.
That's pretty dang funny stuff.
I'd like to see that. Probably on YouTube.
It's somewhere. Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. 717, Stephen Ted. Last evening, my wife and I attended services at the cathedral downtown. It's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And, of course, that's a... Probably that same pew is where she sat 56 years ago on the evening that she and I met. And she was working across the street at the Taco Tico.
How about now, that?
After we got through there, she said, I need to go to Michael's and do, you know, she talks. So I said, yeah, well, while we're out there, we're going to the Taco Tico on North Tyler Road. And we did.
Nice.
We had a meal at the Taco Tico.
Memories.
See how...
It all comes full circle.
There you go.
You know what I did last night?
No.
I went to the Van Gogh Immersive Experience.
What?
It was fantastic.
What is that? I've been seeing things about it. What is it? An art show or what?
Yeah. Oh. It's focusing on all of Van Gogh's works. And the big culmination is you go into this massive room and you sit in a deck chair and his whole paintings and life's work swirls around you on these four walls.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I really enjoyed myself last night.
I'll bet. There wasn't any marijuana involved, was there?
Well, the music and the setting certainly was conducive if you wanted to do that. I don't think there was. I didn't catch any whiffs.
I tease you. I know there wasn't. All right. Sounds great. Where was it at?
It's up there on North Rock Road, kind of near Coles in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 7:19 now. Steve's head in the morning here on KNSS. And it's sports time now with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right. Got college men's basketball last night. I'm in Manhattan. 6,700 fans on hand. K-State was trying to snap a four-game losing streak, taking on Mississippi Valley State. Well, that's the team you break a losing streak against because K-State won by 59 points. You heard the game last night. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Nate Johnson picks it out of the air and pushes it far side. To the middle he goes. Back to the right. P.J. spots up for three. Swish! He got it. P.J. Haggerty now with 18 points in the game. That's his third three. And number seven for the Cats, and it's 58 to 24.
P.J. Haggerty leads the nation in scoring, by the way, averaging 24 a game. He got 28 last night. K-State won the game 108-49.
How many will he score if they play a junior high school?
Yeah. 19 three-pointers for the Cats last night. They break this losing streak, improved to 6-4 on the season. And, you know, I hope the win was worth it. They probably paid the Delta Devils about $90,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, to come play him and get beat. K-State wins it last night. After the game, Kansas State head coach Jerome Tang.
I was proud of them yesterday and how they responded to film walkthrough, you know, just, you know, us addressing some things. And, you know, today they came out, they shared the basketball. When we share the ball, we make the game easy. And, you know, when you have 38 made shots on 30 assists, you know, we had too many turnovers still, but, you know, we shared the basketball and we're a better team when we share the ball.
K-State now 6-4 on the season. Happy birthday today to a former Kansas Jayhawk basketball star. Kelly Oubre is 30 years old today. Only played 1 year, his freshman year at KU, and then left for the NBA. Got drafted number 15 overall by the Atlanta Hawks, immediately traded to the Wizards. He has played for five teams in his 10-year NBA career. He's in his third year right now with the Philadelphia 76ers. So here's a guy that averaged 9 points and 5 rebounds a game his freshman year at KU. Was it worth it to leave after a freshman year like that? I think it was worth it. Career earnings now of $82 million playing in the NBA.
Did he ever score better numbers than that while he was at KU?
No, that was in 1 year.
Oh, he was there one
just
year.
His freshman year. 9 points and 5 rebounds a game.
Oh, in other words, what you or I would probably average if we got on a court. And now he's making how much?
Oh, he makes about $8 million a year.
Man, I wouldn't even mess with college, man.
Well, that's what guys used to do. They'd play 1 year and then bye. Yeah. Okay. So that's what's going on. Happy birthday.
And you could make some rules about that, Pop. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, hey, pretty much these days you do whatever you want.
There you go.
But, yeah, back then you had to play at least 1 year in college before the NBA would take you. All right. It's his birthday today. Kelly Oubre, the former Jayhawk, he is 30 years old today. That's sports with Steve and Ted. Sports is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe, healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center, they improve the lives they touch. And sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here. East, near Central and Woodlawn. West at 13th and Tyler. And in historic Delano at Handley Street. Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season.
Coming up, House Call for Health. Cannabis use may curb alcohol consumption among young people. That's on the way. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Tuesday morning, 29 degrees. The Coldwater City Council has accepted the resignation of Mayor Jose Joe Ceballos. The mayor submitted his resignation Monday, about a month after the Kansas Attorney General's office charged him with election fraud. Ceballos is accused of voting in elections since 2022 as a non-U.S. citizen, which is illegal. He is a permanent legal resident and citizen of Mexico. He faces 3 counts of voting without being qualified and 3 counts of election perjury. If convicted, Ceballos could face up to 5 years in prison.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will discuss an amendment to the K-96 and Greenwich Star Bond area to create a new sports district. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
Phase 3 of that project is basically 40 acres of undeveloped land near K-96 and Greenwich. And what these folks are proposing is tennis, ice skating, baseball, surfing, golf, as well as go-karts in that area, as well as a hotel.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Ukraine is presenting the United States with a revised plan for peace.
This new offer comes after talks between Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and the leaders of the UK, France, and Germany. President Zelensky says the revised plan comprises 20 points, but on the most difficult issue, giving up territory to Russia, there's still no agreement. The United States wants Ukraine to hand over land, but the Ukrainian leader says he's constitutionally barred from doing so. He's also worried about being vulnerable to a future invasion. Meanwhile, the city of Sumy in northwestern Ukraine was left without power overnight after a Russian drone attack. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
As President Donald Trump announces a support package for farmers affected by his tariff policy, he argues that American farmers do not want a lifeline, they want a level playing field. Fox's Mark Meredith has more on Trump's plan to help farmers.
The White House says it's ready to spend big, up to $12 billion to help American farmers who are struggling amid the trade wars as well as economic headwinds. And it's the latest sign that this White House plans to spend a lot more of its time focusing on the economy.
We love our farmers and... as you know, the farmers like me.
Tonight, President Trump says American farmers need help. His administration now pledging one-time payments to crop farmers, many of whom are struggling amid multiple trade disputes. American soybean farmers are especially hurting after China, the world's biggest buyer of soybeans, stopped purchasing U.S. exports. The White House says China will spend more come February.
Democrats argue that a one-time payment will not help American farmers. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says President Trump killed the markets that farmers rely on to make a living.
The Supreme Court will consider whether one of the few remaining campaign finance rules left should be scrapped.
A few years ago, then Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, Congressman Steve Chabot, and the National Republican Senatorial and Congressional Committees challenged a limit on political parties coordinating with candidates, saying the financial restrictions violated their First Amendment rights. An appeals court panel said they raised some fair points, but they still had to contend with a Supreme Court ruling from 24 years ago that already upheld the federal limits. The Trump administration, however, has said they have no interest in defending the rule, so the courts appointed a former clerk for Justice Roberts to argue on behalf of keeping the rule in place. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
An Arizona county is partnering with ICE to help curb illegal immigration.
County Attorney Brad Miller says that his office and ICE are joining task forces, going after drug and child traffickers, domestic violence, and crimes against children.
I think people think that ICE or my office just drives around and starts pulling folks over. That's not how it works.
How the 287G partnership with ICE will work is by using targeted intelligence, going after specific individuals who've been under investigation, using search warrants granted by a judge.
We can now ask ICE to bring some of their team, their SWAT team, in to assist us with that operation.
Pinal County would get access to ICE resources like extra manpower and money, and in return, Pinal County helps ICE deport these illegal immigrants. In Florence, Ashley Rodriguez, Fox News.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
A chilly morning will turn around in a hurry. Mostly sunny today, high 60. Southwest winds 10 to 20. Breezy tonight as those winds switch to the northwest. Overnight low 38 with mostly clear skies. Little bit cooler on Wednesday, continued breezy and 53. Mostly sunny and we're back in the lower 60s on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And now a few clouds of south wind at 7 miles per hour. 29 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:35 here on this Tuesday morning, December 9th. It is time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Great being with you.
Good to be with you. And what's coming up here on the County Commission meeting this week?
Well, we meet tomorrow, have a full schedule. One important note, we're actually pushing back the start of the meeting tomorrow. Traditionally, we start at 9 a.m. We're starting tomorrow morning's meeting at 10 a.m. And the reason for that is we are hosting, or a host site, here in Wichita, the annual conference of the Kansas Association of Counties. So they have their business meeting in the morning. I'll provide a welcome address. Commissioner Jim Howes, our official delegate, and the other commissioners also like to attend that morning meeting in the Kansas Association of Counties. So because of that, we're going to push back the start to 10 a.m. And then we'll get going. We got a couple things that are on the agenda that I think are noteworthy. The first is we'll get an update from the Greater Wichita Partnership. The president of the GWP, Jeff Fleur, will be with us. Just give us an update on the projects they're working on. regionally. You know, they focus a lot on advanced manufacturing projects and really trying to sell this community as economic developers to corporations and small businesses all across the country to come and do business here in our region. They've had a lot of success, a lot of investment, particularly in downtown Wichita and in specific trades. So we're really excited to get an update of just where we're at economically with the work that GWP is doing. And then there's a second one on our consent agenda that I'd really like to call attention to. It's actually an agreement with Project Access. And the vast majority of your listeners probably don't know what Project Access is. But this is something we've been doing in Sedgwick County for the better part of almost 25 years now. And this is a community-wide network of both public and private organizations that help individuals that are low income qualify for medical procedures. We have pharmacies that are involved with prescriptions. It's a significant effort to really help bring medical care for those that are might fit in a gap, or maybe they don't qualify for Medicaid, or those that simply cannot afford for just regular medical treatment or preventative care treatment. So this is a real large collaboration of doctors and pharmacies that offer their care for free in this network to individuals that really need it. And Sedgwick County has been supporting this for years. We give $200,000 a year to help support this network. Wichita does as well. United Way gives, and there's a lot of private donors. But this is a big deal. It's on our consent agenda, but I really want people to know about Project Access and the partnership they have with local government.
So, Ryan, do you have any idea how many people they actually serve in a year's time at Project Access?
You know, I don't offhand. I read through notes this morning. They'll present that data. It's a big number. And what's even more impressive is not even just the number of individuals they're serving, but the number of local doctors and medical practitioners that are involved in this space and that are donating services for this. So I'll post some updates tomorrow on my social media page because I do think this is something we should be celebrating. And this is one of just yet another thing that we do here locally where the community just demonstrates their compassion and serving people that are most vulnerable in our community. So it's something that is on our consent agenda, but I really wanted people to know all the great things that are happening at Project Access.
So assuming access that the person who is applying for access would have to demonstrate some sort of financial need. In other words, not somebody just coming off the street. They have to show that they really need it. Is that correct?
Yeah. The program facilitates accessibility for medical care and prescription medications, even medical equipment for those particularly that are older. If you're uninsured or if you fall below 250% of the federal poverty guidelines, those are the real high level standards. But again, they don't want to present a lot of barriers to people that need this care. You're uninsured. What happens now in our community many times is you go to the local hospitals to receive care. And that's not what a hospital is designed for. So what traditionally happens is it drives up medical costs, it drives up insurance costs, it drives up costs for our local hospitals. And this is an opportunity to divert some of those costs and really just partner with compassion and partner with generosity. And these doctors that do this, they really are giving a gift to this community, and I want an opportunity to celebrate it.
And that's a great point. The doctors and nurses, they don't have to do that, but
not at all.
They're good people, and that's the way they show it. All right, what else is going on? Anything exciting?
Well, there's a lot going on this time of year. You know, we're really trying to wind down a lot of business and make sure that all of our budget transfers and everything that has to happen before we tidy up the end of the year that's buttoned up. But, you know, this Kansas Association of Counties meeting, this is a big meeting this year. Not only is it the 50th annual meeting that they've had for this organization, but there's a lot going on at the county level of governments all across the state, advocating to the state for legislative reforms. We've talked about on your show a lot the things that we have to do at the tag office, the appraiser's office, some of the things that are really sensical things that as we've become more of an urbanized county, that we've got to start contending to change state statute to meet some of these demands. But it's really interesting to get in the room and talk with colleagues and peers from across the state, because the needs of Sedgwick County are different than the needs of a Ford County or the needs of other rural counties, and also different than the needs of Johnson County in some respects. So getting in the room, listening to their concerns, listening to their opportunities, and And working together as a unified voice with the state really has power. And I'm grateful. We have a lot of state legislators that really engage these conversations with the counties and really try to do what's best for our mutual constituents.
Right. Again, what's the name of the organization?
It's the Kansas Association of Counties. So counties have basically an association that we work with and we lobby together. And then the cities also have something called the League of Municipalities, where they also lobby together here in Kansas. And then again, these are just a unified voice because our legislators, again, they're elected to serve the same constituents we are, but the needs of the state and the directives of the state are oftentimes different from the cities and the counties. And this is just one other opportunity that we can make our voices heard and make sure that our legislators that are elected to represent us understand the pressures and the opportunities happening at our levels of government. So, it really is a mutually beneficial relationship.
So this meeting tomorrow is what, an hour-long meeting or something like that? Or?
Well, it's actually a conference that goes the bulk of the business day. It starts today.
Okay.
The business meeting is tomorrow where we'll be talking. And Commissioner Jim Howell, who used to be a state legislator, he's very in tune with the things that happen at the state level. And he really helps consult us and the county commission of some of these processes that we're not familiar with. He's our official delegate. So he'll go in the business meeting and kind of work on the legislative platform from Kansas Association of Counties and make sure that everybody's in tune there. But it's a great business meeting. There's a lot to be learned there, and it's a great voice for counties across Kansas.
Ryan, you are invited Friday to come to the Courtyard by Marriott. Between 5 and 7 p.m., we're not going to charge you to get in.
But admission?
Yeah, free admission. It's going to be my send-off. I'm going to retire at the end of the month. And we'd be glad to have you down there. If you could bring some donuts or something, that'd be good.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate any opportunity we get to celebrate you. We've got other things we're working on at the county to make sure people understand the impact that your show and Steve and Ted show, but Steve, what you've done for this community to elevate not just the news, but to do it in a way that's entertaining. I'm a longtime listener to your guys' show. And Steve, I know this is a new season for you, and I know you're excited, but you're really going to be missed, man. We really appreciate all that you do.
Don't stop now because I'm beginning to weep, aren't I, Ted? No, thank you for that. It's nice to hear those kind of things, obviously. And appreciate that, and we appreciate what you do. But, hey, you are invited to come down. You can meet St. Shelley. She's going to be there. She'd love to meet you.
Yeah, she's the most famous one of the Macintosh tandem there. So true. I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, thanks, Ryan.
I appreciate the invite.
All right, Ryan, we'll talk to you again next week. That's Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Steve and Ted in the Morning. A local hospital files for bankruptcy. Yeah. That's on the way with Kirk Sevenoff, Wichita Business Journal Update. Even 10 in the morning, KNSS, 7:48 here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
President Trump to begin a tour to talk about the economy and affordability.
Two.
Wichita City Council will discuss a possible public vote on a 1% sales tax increase.
One.
Boeing completes its reacquisition of Spirit Aerosystems after 20 years, Wichita's largest employer. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Got an injury traffic accident now. Hydraulic and MacArthur. Watch for a slowdown down there. So watch out again. That's an injury traffic accident reported. We've also got the report of a stalled out vehicle northbound, the I-235. And this is between Zoo and 25th Street North. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and warmer today with a high of 63 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy tonight and the overnight low 41. Wednesday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 51 degrees. Now a few clouds. South wind at 7 miles per hour. 29 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Boeing stocks closed up after a down day on Wall Street.
Stocks kicking off the new trading week lower with bond yields rising ahead of the Fed's rate cut decision on Wednesday. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were lower. However, tech advanced, led by chip makers with Broadcom leading the charge. Its stock jumped over 2% after the information reported that Microsoft was in talks of moving its custom chips business to Broadcom. Shares of Warner Brothers Discovery rose over 4% after Paramount Skydance launched a hostile bid for the entertainment company. The Dow winners, Goldman Goldman Sachs, Boeing and Microsoft, the Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Amgen, and American Express. The Dow falling 216 points, the Nasdaq lower by 32, S&P 500 down 24. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
A local hospital files for bankruptcy. The Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Yeah, it's Chapter 11 bankruptcy for Derby's Rock Regional Hospital, which is just 6 years old. It filed the bankruptcy petition on Sunday in U.S. bankruptcy court. It comes as the hospital has been in a years-long court battle with its property landlord, who alleges millions in missed rent payments. In a statement to the Business Journal, the hospital said the filing is intended to protect ongoing patient care, preserve operations, and allow the hospital to pursue an orderly financial restructuring while continuing to serve the community without interruption. On Monday, the hospital remained open with emergency inpatient and outpatient care. The bankruptcy filing says Rock Regional Hospital LLC has between $10 and $50 million in assets and between $50 million and $100 million in liabilities. The largest unsecured claim is from landlord CBC Derby LLC for nearly $24 million in rent. There's also equipment leases adding up to more than $8 million, according to bankruptcy filings. Meanwhile, the landlord won a Sedgwick County District Court judgment against the hospital LLC that ordered the hospital to pay more than $15 million in unpaid rent and surrender the property. Rock Regional has appealed the 2023 verdict and claims $11 million of the $15 million was expressly forgiven by the landlord 3 years ago. As elected officials from U.S. senators to city council members took turns Monday praising the Boeing company's acquisition of Spirit, calling for a smooth transition of the commercial jet giant back as the center of gravity for Wichita's economy, Boeing's top two leaders in the commercial airlines sector stressed continuation of the quality control improvements that got started while the acquisition was being scrutinized. Commercial Airplanes President Stephanie Pope wrote to Wichita's newest Boeing employees that the new Boeing sites and teammates will continue to operate largely as they do today, and that fully integrated operations will happen over time. CEO Kelly Ortberg called it a milestone moment and said all employees will play a part to get back to the iconic company it knows it can be. Boeing reports a backlog of 6,000 airplanes and counting, which will get the company easily into the 2030s. As Pope said, there is no shortage of work. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
I guess you got to build back that confidence in the product that, yes, we are making a safe airplane, as safe as can be, as safe as possible. And it's kind of like that trust was violated, and Boeing's going to have to earn it back, huh?
It is going to be a long road back from not only the 2018 and 2019 plane crashes, but then the 2024 door plug, which brought so much federal scrutiny on both companies, but now it'll just be one company with Boeing.
Absolutely. All right, so 7:53 now, Steve and Ted in the morning. What's going on in your world? Anything exciting?
A lot of news yesterday, a lot of news today with the city council vote, and we will hear more about the new Starbonds proposal up at K96 in Greenwich that involves a lot of different sports. It'll be a newsy council meeting. I bet you this one lasts a while today.
Oh, okay. We're wishing you a Merry Christmas Card Day. Did you know it's Christmas Card Day today? 'Tis the season for spreading cheer and joyful greetings, so why not grab a recent family photo, a box of cards, or even a tastefully designed e-card and get to writing? I didn't write that sentence, but I wish I had.
Does that mean today is the deadline? Do I need to have my Christmas cards out by today?
It's time for you to just get out the pen and go. And you have a lot of friends. I mean, you've got probably a couple, maybe a half dozen cards you could send out, huh? You know,
you're thinking big there, Steve. I don't know if I have that many.
Back in the day, Mom, you know, I remember my mom sitting there at the table just all day long doing the cards. Now, Shelly and I, we've been married 55 years, and we did cards for a while, but I finally said, let's do a newsletter because that would be more fun. And so we did that for several years. You ever do that?
I have put out a newsletter in the past. We did it for quite a few years, and then all my good material, namely my daughter, moved away. So when it's just me and the missus in the house, it's not all that exciting anymore.
Oh, I just made stuff up. You know, it was.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think you just fill that in with stories about your encounters with Steve and Ted every day.
That's what you could do.
I could.
They make a real great idea. Christmas letter. Yeah. Why don't you try that?
Yeah, your Christmas extravaganza is always a treat, Kirk. I've enjoyed those over the years.
Yeah, but, you know, when the kid moves away, there's nothing, there's just no good material. I don't know what to write about anymore. You can't write about cats all that much.
Yeah, but like I said, just fake it.
You can sing like, well, I went to Ollie's last week. Yeah.
While I was driving around the city, I had a flat tire the other day. See, these are the things.
See?
That interests people, right? All right. Kirk, thank you.
No, it's debatable.
Coming up, stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Steve and Ted, this morning, we have the latest on that possible citywide vote on a 1% sales tax for Wichita increase. And Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
Yeah, we had basketball in Manhattan last night for the K-State men. We'll have highlights and hear from Coach Tang coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news, the Blur's on the way.
Well, just we got a great item to talk about on Blur, of course.
Good one. Okay.
So from 60 years ago tonight, so we'll be getting into that and some TV viewing coming up in the entertainment news and the Blur. That'll be at 8:35 this morning.
We have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.